The Public News Service Snow and Newscast, October the 17th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. 10 years ago this week, New York City was ravaged by Superstorm Sandy, what was then considered a once-in-a-lifetime disaster. But as our Edwin J. Vieira reports, storms of the same magnitude are becoming regular occurrences.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is predicting several storms in the 2022 hurricane season will have a similar intensity to Sandy, and so far, they've been right. Hurricanes Fiona and Ian, which devastated Puerto Rico, Cuba, and Florida, had wind speeds and flooding much like Sandy did. Dr. Allison Brenko with the Nature Conservancy of Long Island says Superstorm Sandy was a wake-up call.
And so I think people didn't always take seriously the possibility that a really big storm was going to impact us. So I think ever since Superstorm Sandy, local governments, communities, people, businesses have all been starting to think and plan a lot more about the possibility of big storms like that.
She adds storms like Ian and Fiona have been bringing more rain to inland areas, away from the shoreline. One easy way for people to plan for big storms, Brenko advises, is checking flood zone maps online. In doing this, people can see the kind of zone they're in and figure out what their risk of flooding is.
Advocates say communities should consider what critical services could be vulnerable, which residential and business areas are vulnerable, and make them safer. And with the midterms about 3 weeks away, supporters of abortion rights say they'd like the next Congress to modify the filibuster so it can deliver change.
The U.S. Senate's filibuster rule means all bills require 60 votes in order to end discussion on a given issue and put it to a vote. Norm Eisen with the Brookings Institution says he supports carving out an exception to the filibuster, but he acknowledges it will be a challenge given unified Republican opposition.
We need probably 52 Democratic senators. There's two Democratic senators who have been opposed to reforming the filibuster. But if there are 50, we can do the so-called nuclear option, change the rules, and the filibuster can be reformed.
This is Suzanne Potter.
This story produced with original reporting from Maliga O for Ms. Magazine. Now from ABC News, a suspected serial killer in California in the city of Stockton arrested Saturday, as police say they believe he was out hunting when he was nabbed. ABC reports Wesley Brownlee, age 43, arrested in connection with six unprovoked murders of men aged 21 to 54 over the last few months. He was booked on a homicide charge on Saturday. This is PNS. Maine continues to see the largest decreases in the number of uninsured people in recent years. Our Kathleen Carley reports the trend is expected to continue as open enrollment for health insurance through the Affordable Care Act begins November the 1st.
One change Mainers will notice this year is that Congress expanded the subsidies for health insurance premiums, so people who purchase plans through the federal exchange will pay no more than 8.5% of their household income through 2025. Dr. Rhonda Randall, Chief Medical Officer at United Healthcare, says it's important to set aside time to compare all the plans available, as well as understand your own family's needs.
Just because you had a certain coverage last year, you might not want to have that coverage roll over. You want to make sure that you're looking into what your options for 2023 look like.
Open enrollment runs from November the 1st through January the 13th. More than two dozen citizen, environmental, and faith groups want the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to revoke Ohio's authority to regulate fracking waste.
In a new petition, the group says the Ohio Department of Natural Resources hasn't complied with federal Safe Drinking Water Act requirements or its environmental justice obligations. Billions of gallons of oil and gas waste have been injected into Ohio's Class II injection wells, including waste from other states. Sierra Club Associate Attorney Anka Jane argues that Ohio's poor regulatory program doesn't hold oil and gas companies accountable for violations.
If you compare Ohio really across the rest of the country, it's one of the worst programs. Their regulation itself, the rules that the operators have to follow, are extremely lax. It's not just that they could do better, it's really one of the worst of the worst.
Jane explains the brine, which is toxic and radioactive, is spread on roads as a de-icer and dust suppressant. ODNR counters that Ohio, quote, operates an effective regulatory program that meets federal standards and protects public health, unquote. Mary Sherman reporting.
And finally, our Mike Mullen lets us know if you drive around Iowa these days, you're likely to see more evidence of solar power.
All of Iowa's 99 counties now have solar projects installed, and Heidi Kolbeck-Erlacher of the Center for Rural Affairs says there's projections for more growth in the coming years. She notes these installations have a lifespan of 25 to 35 years. She says local government should have plans in place about what to do when that time comes.
That development is done in a way that meets the needs of the community and that we're not just talking about the present day.
She says planning now might give the public a better sense of how this infrastructure will be managed. The center is out with a solar decommissioning guide designed to help counties adopt ordinances.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.